The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app.
Get tender Heritage Farm boneless chicken breast for $2.49 a pound. Then find low prices on thousands of items like sparkling ice water, Kroger brand chips, and more, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, my friends. This is your pal Z from Warsaw, Indiana, and you are listening to the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. Yeah.
Everybody, and welcome back to the Surely You Can't Be Serious podcast. We are here to talk about Bush. I'm confused. We're on our 1994 albums. Why are we talking about a 1970s jazz influenced Canadian rock band?
No. Not the Canadian Bush, the British Bush.
Oh, crap. I did all that research. Well, you know what they say, one bush feels like any other.
Oh, I knew the bush jokes were going to come.
Yeah, sorry guys, we will keep it PG-13, but the 13 is going to be heavy on this one.
Heavy bush.
But we've been talking about pounding out some bush for the last 3 weeks. It never is not funny.
This is going to get me in trouble, I can tell already.
Well, I'm super excited to talk about this album. This is the first of the 1994 albums that I owned the CD in probably 95.
Yeah, probably 95.
Yeah, but I mean, heck, I wore that sucker out. I still own it. I lost the one from the 90s, but I came across it again in the $5 bin at Walmart, and I'm like, heck yeah, physical media, baby. It's always better.
That's right. That's right.
Get the full sound. It's not that Spotify 128 kilobyte junk. It's the full deal, and it is freaking awesome. I love this album.
I'm so glad. This is kind of a new experience for me. I knew the hits. I mean, they were really unavoidable on rock radio.
Right.
But I didn't know the sort of off-beaten track songs. So.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have some interesting things come back up from previous episodes. I'm excited to kind of blow your mind with some little tidbits. But I can tell you to start off with, and I'll give the details later, this British Bush really is an American Bush, if you will. And I'll explain that later on. But you typically, when we start these episodes, you give me some info about what's going on in 94. So you got something for me today?
Yeah, I mean, so not a lot really going on in December of 94. I can tell you, though, Friends debuted that September. It was kind of the hot new TV show that fall.
Yeah.
And in December of 94, I can tell you exactly what I was doing. I took my mom, I took my roommate, I took my dad, I took my sister. We all went and saw Dumb and Dumber at the movie theater because that was the big movie at the theater.
Well, in December of 94, I was dropping out of college is what I was doing.
Is that right?
I can tell you that. Yes, I had just finished my first semester at the University of Arkansas, and I was like, this sucks. My grades are terrible. I'm going to go do something else.
In my world, in December of 94, I was like, well, let's give business a try because this might be my last shot at this deal. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, let's dive into this album.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Let's open it up right now. First song out of the box.
Hang on.
Okay. So okay, you said let's go. And then you said, I know.
Before we jump into the album tracks, I just want to say this was released December 6th of 94. There's an interesting story. This album was ready to go in April of 94.
This is the story that I'm excited to talk to you about.
Okay, let's hold on to that. Yeah. Okay, well, let's dive in the first track on the album.
First track on the album, Everything's In. Okay, what do you think, man?
First killer, song. Killer right out of the gate, man.
Yeah, it is fantastic. And you mentioned just a bit ago, like, that this album was recorded in early 94 and was ready to go by April. And there's a story there, and it relates somewhat to these lyrics. So it says, should I fly to Los Angeles, find my asshole brother? Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow. That's going to be a confusing thing, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Okay, so here is the story. I said they were an American Bush because in their home country, they were playing at shitty little pubs, like 50-guy pubs, and not having any success. And Gavin Rossdale, you know, we've talked about this pre-episode of, you know, he was in a different band. They had some success, but, I mean, it was really like they're scraping along, and he's been doing it for several years now.
Mm-hmm.
But they finally get a break because somebody recognizes them in America. Right? They are having no success in the UK.
Right.
But they have a little bit of a hint of an idea of maybe this band can work in America because they have an American sound.
Yeah, I mean, they sound like the British version of Nirvana.
Kind of, yeah. And there's a reason for that, and I'll talk about that in a minute too. But what happens is this guy named Bob Kahane is with Hollywood Records, okay?
Yep.
And he recognizes them as having a bunch of potential. And so Bob Kahane goes to Disney.
Walt Disney?
No, not Walt Disney. The company Disney. Yeah, this is the 90s.
Well, right.
Walt's been buried under the Epcot Center for 20 years at this point.
Too much smoking, yeah.
So he goes to them, and the president of Disney, his name's Frank Wells. He's like, yeah, I think this is a good band. They've got potential. Sounds great. Keep in mind, they're playing to 50 guys over in the UK. Right. And nobody's ever heard of them anywhere.
Right.
And so he's got the backing of the president of Disney. And so he's good to go. This album's going to be a greenlit thing. We're good to go.
Right.
Then Easter, 1994. Okay. The album is finished.
Yeah.
Hasn't been released yet. Frank Wells, president of Disney, goes heli-skiing with Clint Eastwood. Like they're
stop it.
They're hanging out. They're buddies. They're hanging out. I mean,
wow.
Of course, right? You know? And so they're out and they've done this helicopter skiing and the weather is starting to get a little dicey and Clint Eastwood leaves. And it takes about an hour before Frank Wells's helicopter is able to leave, but they leave kind of as the storm is coming up and they have to land not too much longer and try to wait the storm out. Well, that's what they do. They wait the storm out, but because of all the snowfall that happens, once they do take off, the engine freezes up, the helicopter crashes into the side of the mountain, and Frank Wells and the pilot and another passenger are all killed.
Whoa.
And so now the guy who was their guy, the president of Disney, saying, yeah, we've got it. He's not backing it anymore. And all of the executives at Disney, this is what they say. No singles, no album tracks, and the album is killed before it even gets started. Trust you was my wife.
Okay, see, stop right there, because it's one thing to say you don't have any singles. It's another thing to say you don't have any singles, and also there's no good songs to put on an album. What?
That's really terrible.
You have zero songs.
Yes. So,
and that includes bangers that we know and love.
Yeah. So I don't know in timing-wise how they've got this Mickey Mouse has grown up a cow thing, but I just feel like it has to be a reference to these executives going, I don't hear anything good on this album at all. Like, it's not album tracks, it's not singles, it's nothing, we're going to kill it. But as it turns out, Bob Kahane is friends with a guy named Kevin Weatherly. And that may be somebody that most of our listeners have never heard of, but he was the head of a little radio station called K-Rock in L.A.
That's right.
And so Bob Kahane still has a couple of these demo tracks, including Everything's In, the song we're listening to now,
yep,
and Little Things, I believe, was the other one. Kevin Weatherly, Bob Kahane, another mutual friend, have dinner one night, and Bob Kahane says, here's two tracks from this album, and he gives them some other artists to listen to. He says, I think they've got a lot of potential. I'd love it if you listen to them. Well, Kevin Weatherly doesn't even remember what the other group was. but he thinks, okay, this has got potential. And then he plays it in his office the next day, and then plays it in his office the next day again. And he's like, you know what? This is good stuff. We're putting this into the rotation at K-Rock in L.A. I'm so excited to where this is going, right?
Okay.
So because K-Rock is so influential, all of the alternative stations hear this and they're like, well, heck, if they're playing it, we should be playing it. And that's when this little magic thing happens. Now, keep in mind, these guys all thought, hey, we got signed to Hollywood Records. We're finally going to have a record deal. Maybe we're going to get out of playing these crappy little pubs. And then they find out, oh, our record deal is dead. They go back to working menial labor jobs.
Kevin Rosdale was going to be a painter.
Yeah, for 3 months, they're blue-collaring it, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And playing clubs on the weekends, right? You know, it's just scraping by as a musician in the UK.
Right.
And so even though Hollywood Records has killed their deal, the music starts to play, it starts to catch on, and this guy, who I've talked about in a recent episode, happens to hear their music on K-Rock. His name is Ted Fields. Okay. Recognize that name?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm going to refresh your memory. He started off doing Formula One racing, and then he decided, hey, I'm going to start a company called Interscope Communications that's going to make movies. And his finances come from the fact that he's an heir to a newspaper fortune out of Chicago. And the big hit that he has with Interscope Communications is a little movie we just covered called Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh,
so Ted Field, the same guy who hits it big with Revenge of the Nerds, 10 years later, 1994, hears Bush on K-Rock and says, Interscope Records, my new company that I formed in 89, which is now a big deal, will be the one that distributes this album. And because of that, that's how the world knows who Bush is.
The same guy gave us Revenge of the Nerds, basically is responsible for Bush as well.
You got it.
We've got Bush.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Hey, I did find this up. I mean, just to go along with your story, Bush was featured on K-Rock as Catch of the Day, right? Which that was a big deal. When you're named Catch of the Day on K-Rock, that's a big deal. Do you remember the last time we talked about a song that was Catch of the Day on K-Rock?
No. I remember talking about K-Rock, but I don't remember Catch of the Day.
It was how Great White got their big start.
Oh, yes, that's right.
So there you go. They were originally going to drop this in April of 94. They killed the record. Then they said, okay, we're going to give you a January of 95 release. But because this song was so popular, they're like, well, let's push it up before Christmas, December of 94.
There you go.
I've got something for you on this, though. This is the cool thing, okay? Yeah. So this is the first single. The lyrics of this song reference a David Bowie song, Life on Mars.
Okay.
Tom Waits. Do you remember when we talked about him?
I do.
Jane's Addiction. There's a song called Ted Just Admit It where it says, her sex is violent.
Like we're the same. There's no sex in your violence. There's no sex in your violence.
Ah, got it.
And that's where you get the line, there's no sex, sex in your violence, right? Yep. Alice in Chains is Wood, which we've broken down before.
Wow, okay.
And Elvis Presley is mentioned in this song.
Fantastic.
Before we move on from this song, in 1996, there's a little band that starts opening for Bush, and they open for him for 3 months.
Okay.
They're called No Doubt.
Familiar with them?
They're going to play a bigger part in the story here in just a minute.
Yes.
But the lead singer of No Doubt is this cute little girl named Gwen Stefani. Well, she and Gavin Rossdale start up a relationship.
Yes.
And in order to tease them, the people in the band change this name from Everything Zen to Everything Gwen.
Subtle.
And they live happily ever after.
How clever. Yeah. Happily ever after for, well, quite a while.
All right. Next song.
Next song on the album, Swim. Okay. Okay, so this was not a single, but I got to say, I love this song. This is very worthy of a number two spot on this album. It's got almost a jazz feel to the breakdown of the song, where it's, you know, you've just got the drum and the singing, and then you get a little blast, like a bluesy blast of guitar, although this is the heavily distorted guitar of hard rock music. It's that kind of, I'm singing the snappy little da-da, and then bam.
This sounds like a great concert song.
Heck yeah. So this one is another example of the quiet, loud, quiet effect, right?
Yeah, that's definitely right.
Well, it's because Gavin Rossdale is a huge Pixies fan, right? That is actually how he and Nigel Pulsford first hit it off in their conversations, where they started talking about the Pixies.
Okay, I got to stop you right there. Do you know where they met?
No, tell me, yeah.
They met at a Bryan Adams concert in Wembley Stadium in 1991.
Gosh, that's right around the time he was with Tina Turner, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, we covered Reckless just a while back, but there's at least a 1 in 20 chance that they met while Bryan Adams was playing Everything I Do. For you.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Just on that note, he mentioned in the interview that I was listening to that he, you know, back in those days, people bought albums sometimes just because of the album cover. And he says he can remember buying the Pixies album, you know, that dancing woman that's on the front of it just kind of caught his attention and he just fell in love with the album. And then he said something that I thought was crazy. Like, he first thing he would do when he got an album was he would open it up to the thanks page, you know, where the band thanks all their people.
Yeah.
Because he was like, I want to know who they're thanking. I obviously have no idea who those are people are either, but they're the people who are hanging out with the people that I want to hang out with. So I want to know more about them, right?
Okay.
So then that brought around the idea of, well, who did you thank on 16 Stone? Well, one of the people that he thanks is a girl named Lindsay, who was his first girlfriend.
Yes.
And love of his life, as he describes it, you know, those first girlfriends frequently are. What he says in the thanks is giving a thanks to Miss Thurno, because he thought that would be cute. Like, he took time to and apparently she called him up after it and was like, what the hell is that supposed to mean?
Really?
Yes. And he was like, I don't, what? Why are you mad? Like, I thought this was a sweet, sweet thing. And she's like, no, what the heck are you thinking? Putting thanks and putting Miss Thurno on there. And he says, well, probably nobody's going to listen to this album anyway. Probably nobody will buy it. You'll be fine.
Thanks for letting me sneak a kiss behind the gymnasium at school. My gosh.
Yeah. There you go.
Wow. Oh, that's cool. That's a good story.
Speaking of things happening behind the gymnasium at the schoolhouse, the first lyrics of this song, could not believe, came here today. Helmet was on. You blew me away. House is on fire. We're naked again. Maybe all we need is water and friends. What do you think he's talking about there?
I'm going with sex.
Yeah. Blew him away.
Yeah.
Good thing he's wearing a helmet.
That's right. Okay. Next song on the album is called Bomb.
Okay, so this song they wrote back when they were still under their old band name.
Yeah, they started out as Future Primitive.
Terrible name.
It is a terrible name.
It is a terrible name. And I think I mentioned in an episode past that I went into Guitar Center and there was a couple of kids in there who started playing guitar together and I was blown away at how good they were. Like, I mean, I'm thinking they're teenagers and they're like blowing my mind, like, hey, teenagers still play music on real instruments. This is fantastic. And so I'm like, hey guys, do you have a band? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. Tell me the name. I'm going to go check you guys out. And they're like, it's called Wet Muscles. And I was like, okay. And they're like, we know, it's a terrible name. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, but it's memorable. And I'm like, well, yeah, that's true. So guys, if you are in the Oklahoma City area, go check out Wet Muscles. young band playing real music out there. And it was great because I'm listening to this guy kill this lead guitar thing and start talking to him. He's like, actually, I'm the drummer. I'm like, what?
Wow.
Wow. Okay. So anyway, yes, great band. But back to what I was saying on this one, written while they're still called Future Primitive, which is a terrible name. And so fortunately, they decided to change their name.
It was released as Future Primitive. How about that?
Yeah.
So there, I mean, there's a song out in the world under the name Future Primitive.
Yeah, this song bomb, yeah.
Yeah. Now, that name is not as bad as 60 Wrong Sausages, which was Weezer's name at one point, right?
Right, right.
This was on the soundtrack for Tank Girl.
Okay.
There are three songs on this album that made soundtracks.
Zack Snyder's Tank Girl, right? I think so.
I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah.
I know Lori Petty's in it. That's
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah.
Do you remember the last song we talked about where it references a bomb?
Yeah, it was back in our Green Day episode, yes.
That's right, the song Having a Blast that we talked about last week on the Dookie album.
Yeah. So this is the one, I can remember back in the day that I had this album, was listening to it. You know, chatting up a girl at the bar or whatever, and she was talking about how her boyfriend didn't like Bush because they sounded just like a, yeah, the band. He didn't like them because they sounded like a British knockoff of Pearl Jam and Nirvana and some of these other Seattle bands,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And her point, which I thought was very well taken, she's like, well, come on. Green Day is just a knockoff of all of the British punk bands, right? And I was like, okay, well, yeah. I mean, even back in 94, 95, people had this idea. But this song, Bomb, is one of those ones that really has a very Nirvana sound.
Absolutely.
Well, if you'll go back to our first season when we covered Nevermind versus 10, we talked about how Kurt Cobain also loved the Pixies.
There you go.
If the bands are influenced by the same band, then they're going to have a similar sound to their song, right?
Makes sense. On that subject, there is another thing that Kurt Cobain loved that also Gavin Rossdale loves.
Oh, that's true. That is true. I forgot about that.
Courtney Love.
Yeah.
Was shared between these two men.
Yeah. Yeah. Shoot. Dang, that's right. He had a little tryst with her, obviously, after Kurt's suicide.
96.
Yeah, so that's interesting that you say 96 because it was in 95 that he started dating Gwen Stefani. So that means, I'm hearing Ross here. They were on a break.
Not necessarily. I think those lines were a little blurry there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, apparently they went out for about 8 months in 95 and 96. Courtney said, quote, everyone gave me so much because Gavin sounded a lot like Kurt.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously that ended and he got back together with Gwen Stefani. They got married in 2002. They have three sons together, born in May 2006, August 2008, and February 2014.
Okay, let's hold that story for a bit later. Okay. I've got some more stuff for you on that.
All right.
Okay?
Okay, cool.
Next song.
Next song on the album, song you might have heard of before. The song's called Little Things.
Banger. I love it.
It is a banger. And it does sound a lot like Smells Like Teen Spirit as well.
It kind of does, right?
But it's so freaking good. You know, they even recognize. Now, Pixies are an American band. He liked American music. Like, he liked that sound, as do a lot of. We've covered so many bands that they're like, the British guys are pulling from the American side, the American guys are pulling from the British side. And so I don't know why these guys seem to get more heat about it than anybody else. I mean, right. We talked about Bon Jovi and Richie Sambora sitting on a box of tapes, listening to the tapes, trying to figure out what licks they're going to steal and what melody they're going to steal for their next album.
Right.
It happens all of the time. But before they had recorded this record, realized they had an American sound, they literally picked their producers, Clive Langer and Alan Winstanley, because they're British and they wanted to have a more British sound to their music. Now, these guys had produced a ton of stuff, including a lot of Elvis Costello stuff, and that's how the band ended up going with them. Clive Langer actually co-wrote the Elvis Costello song Shipbuilding, which is huge. He had done all these Elvis Costello bands things. He had composed, he ended up later on composing music for a couple of movies called Still Crazy, about an old kind of washed up singer.
Okay.
And this one's great. I really want to check this out. A movie called Brothers of the Head. It is a mockumentary about a rock band whose lead singer is a conjoined twin.
I'm not sure I want to check that one out.
It looked really good to me. He'd been a guitarist for the cult band Deaf School, where his punk name was Cliff Hanger instead of Clive Langer. That's funny. And had played
Cliff Hanger.
Yes. And had played with Big in Japan, which, of course, we talked about when we did our Frankie Goes to Hollywood Patreon episode. Wow. So be sure, guys, if you want to check out some of our one-hit wonder Patreon episodes, go to patreon.com/Shirley Podcast. You can sign up for free to see what we're covering. And for as little as $5, which is won't even get you a cup of coffee at Starbucks anymore, you can have access to every single one of our secret episodes.
We got a big back catalog, too. There's a lot of great stuff over there.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the thing that blew me away. Yeah. Gavin Rossdale, Bush is not his first band.
Nope.
It's not even his first signed band.
No.
He was in a band called Midnight.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
Yeah.
And I listened to their stuff. It sounds a lot like INXS to me.
Yeah, that was even a comment that somebody made about Bush before Bush had recorded this album, was that they kind of sounded like a commercial INXS band.
They opened for Cyndi Lauper and Big Country.
Yeah. So the band Midnight, he had started with a guy named Sacha Putman because, I mean, we talked about it. Gavin Rossdale is a very pretty man, right? I mean, he's a good-looking guy.
He's a good-looking guy,
and
yeah.
So like a lot of good-looking kids back in the 80s, he would go to dance clubs and, you know, try to hook up or whatever. And Sacha Putman was another one of these dance club kids, and so they put together this band called Midnight. Now, Midnight had a... not a successful song, but a decent hit. What was it called?
That song is called King of the Mountain.
King of the Mountain.
Let's listen to it.
Yeah.
King of the mountain, top of the world, to be with you.
That's INXS, D.
It is very, very similar to INXS. And looking at the album cover, it looked like he was kind of borrowing that style as well.
Just like Michael Hutchence.
He did. He had the long hair. He had the earring. It was very much there. Now, what's interesting, that band was called Midnight. There's another song called King of the Mountain that's pretty popular by Midnight Oil, which I think has to be.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, 87, that's when that came out as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Little Things was such a powerhouse.
Great song.
Such a powerhouse.
All right, quick word on the music video, D.
Yeah.
This video was shot in January and February of 95 at an old mansion in Long Island, New York, and L.A. at the band's studio. The video was directed by Matt Mahurin, who also directed Everything's In.
Did you know that Gavin Rossdale goes on to do acting after this? Like, he's been in several movies?
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah. So he was in Constantine. He was Balthazar in Constantine.
Really?
Yep. He was in The Bling Ring with Emma Watson.
Emma Watson.
Yes. He was in an episode of Hawaii 5-0, not the old one, but the new one.
Okay.
He was in an episode of Burn Notice. He was in an episode of Criminal Minds. I mean, he's got a lot of acting credits to his name.
Listen, this guy's a good-looking guy. He keeps himself in shape. No, he's the product of a doctor and a model. Have you seen a picture of his mother?
No, uh-uh. Is she beautiful?
She's a babe.
So interestingly, like she's Scottish. His dad is Russian Jewish. I'm thinking of Adam Sandler in his song, in his Happy Hanukkah song, talking about people you didn't know were half Jewish.
Right.
Gavin Rossdale, because they changed their name from Rosenthal to Rossdale.
Oh, How about that?
There you go. There you go. Things you only learn on the Shirley Podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, this song is incredible, but we have to keep on moving. But good news, the next song is another banger. This is the song, Come Down. Okay, Jason, I have to ask you this question. I think if anybody's going to be on the same page as me for this, it's going to be you.
Okay.
When you hear this bass introduction, does it make you think of any song from the 80s?
It's a slowed down bass line from Living on a Prayer.
It's really, like, I got to remember back in 95 hearing this song for the first time and thinking, dude, they stole this riff from Bon Jovi. But as far as I know, I'm the only person who's made that connection. I don't know anybody else who said that, but man, to me, it's unmistakable how close those two bass lines are.
How about that?
There you go.
All right, so Come Down is, to me, this is the best song in the album.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I love this song. I mean, it's a banger.
Okay, so in the late 80s, we've talked a little bit about Gavin Rossdale's love life, but I'll go on here a little bit more.
Sure, why not?
He dated a woman named Susie DeMarchi.
Yes.
She was the lead singer for a band called Baby Animals.
Yes.
They had a hit called Early Warning. Obviously, probably a much bigger band in Australia, where they're from, than they are here, right?
Sure.
Just, again, trying to take advantage of that NXS connection. She ends up leaving him and ends up getting together with Nuno Bettencourt from the band Extreme.
What?
Yeah. So this song, Come Down, is about the end of his relationship with her.
Wow. That is a great nugget.
We'll get to Glycerin here in a minute. It's going to be the same thing.
Now, wait a minute. For those who don't know who Nuno Bettencourt is, he is the electrifying guitarist for the band Extreme.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to our best songs of 1989 episode.
Yep.
Wow. Okay, good one. By the way, I've got a breakdown of Gavin Rossdale's love life here in just a minute. We'll go through on the song Ex-Girlfriend.
Okay. All right. Okay, that sounds good.
So you talked about how this song was written about his relationship with Susie DeMarchi, right?
Yeah.
I saw him where he was talking about how this song, it's about her and their relationship. It's in the context of half regret, half celebration. It's experiencing something of great euphoria you don't want to end.
Right.
And that's, I mean, what a perfect song and, like, sentiment in concert to play this one. It's a banger, and you're like, I'm having a ball. I don't want this night to end.
Say what you will. Like, I think that the people in the UK thought that this was a manufactured band, which is patently false. They just were an unsuccessful in the UK band that happened to blow up in the U.S. In 1996, they played to more people in the United States than any other band. That's how big they were.
Wow.
It was huge. But Gavin Rossdale is not just a good-looking guy. He is a talented musician and a talented songwriter. I mean, let me just talk the lyrics here. Love and hate, get it wrong. She cut me right back down to size. Sleep the day, let it fade. Who was there to take your place? No one knows, never will, mostly me, but mostly you. What do you say? What do you do when it all comes down? Because I don't want to come back down from this cloud. That's poetry, bro. I love it.
I'm having a ball today. I don't want to come down from this cloud. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. This, to me, I hate to leave this one so early. The way this song ends, it's just repeating that fist pumping chorus and just I can feel the sway of the crowd.
It is an emotional delivery of emotional lyrics. Great, great song. Definitely worthy of being your favorite on the album.
Gavin Rossdale talks about how when he plays this song in concert, it's electrifying to him to watch people sing his lyrics back to him. It's just one of those where he lets the crowd do the work, you know?
Yeah.
By the way, this song was in the movie Fear. I asked you earlier, had you seen the movie Fear?
Marky Mark, before he was Mark Wahlberg again, right?
Marky Mark, yeah, and Reese Witherspoon. Right?
I think I saw it either on VHS or like in the theater or something, but I kind of remember Mark Wahlberg pounding his chest because he was this obsessive high school boyfriend. It seemed like maybe a gender reversal on the Fatal Attraction movie.
I know my college buddy, Scott Foster, the guy that did our intro to the Green Day episode last
year. Yes.
He saw this with him. It was him, his girlfriend, and her parents. And he said it may be like the most uncomfortable he's ever been a movie setting.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to go to the movie about a psychotic boyfriend with my girlfriend and her parents.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Great. Okay. We ready to move on?
Moving on to the next song. That song is called Body.
This is an unsung, absolute single-worthy song off of this album.
I dig this one, man.
This is such a great song.
Yeah, this is a fantastic song. This is one I didn't know before. It was not a single, but I'm on board with you. This could have been a single and could have been very successful.
I can remember loving this song back in the day, totally expecting it to be released as a single. Never was. May have been the kind of record deal that you talked about with Dookie and with the Blue album, where they're like, some of these songs want people to go buy the album to get them.
That's right.
But this one is definitely single worthy. It has a Soundgarden sound to it. It's got a kind of like Rusty Cage, I would say.
I saw a magazine said this is the perfect mix of Soundgarden and Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Nailed that one. Good job.
I love it. Will you come again? Will we stay friends? Oh, you paralyze. I love this song, man. It's really good.
A great song, D. Hit stop on your tape player. Kick it out. Flip it over for side two. And we start off with Machine Head.
Well, we've reached my favorite song on the album.
Okay, this is your favorite,
huh? Gosh, I love this song. My band used to cover this back in 1995, 96. Loved covering this song. Loved doing that guitar intro. I mentioned this to James Buckley a couple of weeks ago, and within a few days, he sends me a video where he and Hidden Tracks are covering this song, and they did a killer job on it. Such a great song, such a great cover. That guitar intro and then him coming in with the breathe in, breathe out. I mean, it's just intense.
It's like a very heavy metal version of aerobics. You know? breathing out.
So it's kind of funny. I have nothing that tells me that, you know, there's some inside information on what this song is about. I'm just guessing. This is a total guess for me. Do you have info?
He's vague when he talks about what this is about. I mean, okay. Machine Head is a guitar item. I don't even know what it is.
Okay, so just to simplify as best I can, you probably have seen on the bridge, on the top part of the guitar, where the tuning are, sometimes there'll be a little like metal piece that goes across there. The reason that metal piece is there is because when you use the whammy bar, it bends the strings and it'll make them go out of tune. But if you have that little metal piece on the top, it keeps them from going out of tune, and that little metal piece is called a machine head.
Machine Head.
There you go. It's better than the rest. Green to red.
I did see him say that the song is about survival and triumph. It's about the maverick spirit and energy and refusal to be compromised.
Yeah.
Kind of vague terms like that. I don't care. It's a great song.
So at this point, like, he's been doing this musician thing for several years, right? He's no longer 21, 22. He's now 24, pushing 25.
Right.
And playing these clubs in the UK that are small and wondering, you know, did I make the wrong career choice? So if you just look at these lyrics, I spin on a whim, I slide to the right, I felt you like electric light, for our love, for our fear, for our rise against the years and years and years. Like, it sounds to me like this is his kind of disappointment at the performance on stage going on as long as it has and him not seeing any success. Deaf, dumb, and 30, starting to deserve this, leaning on my conscience wall. Blood is like wine, unconscious all the time. If I had it all again, I'd change it all. Like, I think he's feeling regret in this song with his music choice. It's just odd that it turns out to be an absolute smash hit for the band.
Well, and keep in mind, these songs were dead. He had no idea that this was going to be a hit.
Yeah.
By the way, this was the fifth single, released April 9th of 96. I told you it peaks out at number 43 on the Billboard Hot 100 on May 4th of 1996.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, my 23rd birthday.
Yeah, nice. So, may the 4th be with you.
In the video, Gavin Rossdale's dog, Winston, makes an appearance.
I have a cat named Winston.
Yes, you do.
Named
cool cat.
After Winston Churchill.
There you go.
We're all a little British, I guess.
I did hear how when he wrote this song, he would take walks and he would try to imagine lyrics and kind of think about, and he had the riff in his head and he was like walking around Hyde Park, which is in England. And he's like, holy crap, that's good. That's good. I got to remember this. And he said, when he got back, he's like, okay, you got something good. Don't screw it up by messing up the lyrics. And that's why I do think it is a little bit vague about what it is actually about. All right, let's move on from that one. Let's go to the next song. The next song is called Testosterone.
Another single-worthy song, man.
It's good.
It's so freaking good.
It's good.
So the intro drum on this, I saw that their drummer, Robin Goodrich, he said that he was using inspiration from Pete Best and John Bonham from Led Zeppelin. The intro drum beat to this is obviously influenced by When the Levee Breaks from Led Zeppelin.
Definitely sounds
very
like
very strong,
that.
Which is my favorite intro drum beat of all time, of all songs. So I was very happy to hear it being used for something new and exciting in this one. And then he's challenging the male machismo. I got a big gold gun. Got a big gold gun that is prevalent. Now, it's interesting that he should make that challenge. As we mentioned, this album came out in December of 94.
Yes.
In 1995, when this album was huge, Boy George released a book.
Yes, he did.
Interestingly, he made some allegations in there that were initially denied. You got the story on this one?
Yeah. So Boy George said, Gavin Rossdale, take it like a man. And apparently, a good friend of Boy George and a good friend of Gavin Rossdale, a person named Marilyn.
Yeah, Peter Robinson is his given name, but yes.
Who goes by Marilyn.
Uh-huh.
And I guess Gavin Rossdale had a sexual relationship with this person for like 5 years.
Yeah, initially when Boy George's autobiography came out, like you said, it's called Take It Like a Man. He mentions this and the initial reaction of Gavin Rossdale was, that's George's take. He doesn't know me. There's a queue of people going to their lawyers about the stuff in his book. I hope he manages to sell some books by putting my name in there. But a little later on, he confessed.
Yeah, so Boy George is like, oh yeah, well, sue me then if it's wrong, you know?
Uh-huh.
But apparently, Gavin Rossdale, you know, your career's taken off. You're in the rock world where it's pretty heavily male. You don't want to scare off anybody. And so he denied it. And he asked Marilyn, who he was still good friends with, hey, can you bury this for me? And later on, he was basically forced to admit that it happened. So,
yeah, 2003, Marilyn had a single called Hold On Tight that he dedicated to Gavin Rossdale, citing,
thank you,
quote, the years of their passionate relationship and featuring a photo of him and Rosdale on the cover. He said they had been together for 5 years and referred to him as the love of his life.
The love of his life.
Yeah. But hey, he,
shocking.
Yeah. He had several loves of his life, apparently.
He did. Yeah, he really did.
We will go on to talk about those in just a moment.
Next song on the album is called Monkey.
Okay, in my opinion, and I love this album, this is the first skipper on the album for me.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel about it?
Just kind of noisy. It's not, it doesn't grab me.
Yeah, I mean, the lyrics don't make any sense to me. The music isn't super great. But here's an opportunity to talk about the fact that they couldn't release this album in Canada because, as I mentioned at the intro of this episode, there was already a Canadian band called Bush. They were a 1970s jazz-influenced rock band out of Canada who, like, opened up for Three Dog Night. I mean, just hadn't really.
Wow.
Like, Three Dog Night kind of threw them a bone, pardon the pun right there, by giving them a B-side on their on one of their singles.
Uh-huh.
But they just never really had much success, but they were still around, and they still owned the rights to the name when Bush tried to release 16 Stone. So if you got the album in Canada, the name of the band was Bush X.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not heard this story.
Yeah. So ultimately, they were like, well, guys, we got to find a workaround here. And according to Gavin Rossdale and the lead singer for the Canadian Bush, they were agreeable to like work things out. They're like, let's do it. But the lawyers, you know, stupid lawyers get involved.
Freaking lawyers.
Everybody's fighting about stuff. What ends up happening is they agree that if like all of the band members, all four band members donate $20,000 to the Starlight Children's Foundation, that they'll allow them to use the name in Canada. And I mean, that's a no-brainer, right? Your album is selling millions and millions. It's easy to give up $80,000, especially to a good cause, to get the right to use your name.
To use your name, absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, you know why they chose the name Bush?
I do, but you can tell us the story.
Well, so there's different stories.
Yeah.
I think Bush is kind of a short and memorable word, like Kiss might be, right?
Right.
But apparently there's a place in and around London called Shepherd Bush.
Shepherd's Bush. Yes.
Shepherd's Bush, which is where they're from. But I'm not sure that there's not a double entendre there.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know how the band got its name now. You're going to have to stay tuned to find out how the album got its name. That's been a mystery for a while, but I think I may have the answer for you. But before we get there.
I don't know that information. I'm waiting for you to tell me.
I'm going to give it to you, bro. I'm going to give it to you, but you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. You're going to have to keep stay tuned in for our next song on the album.
Glycerine.
Beautiful ballad, again, dedicated to ex-girlfriend Susie Marchi.
How many people lost their virginity to this song in the mid-90s?
Ah, man. I mean, it's just, if you know that this is a song about a breakup, it just tears your heart up, man. I mean, everything's gone white. Everything's gray. Now you're here. Now you're away. I don't want this. Remember that. I'll never forget where you're at. Don't let the days go by.
He talked about when he played this for the band initially, he said, I was like a conduit. This song was bigger than me.
Don't let the days go by. Glycerine. Glycerine.
You know, we've talked about how some artists believe they download the song right from the heavens. That was this song for him.
Yeah.
By the way, I love this little nugget here. Desmond Child, when he heard this song for the first time, he thought he was saying Kiss the Rain.
Oh.
Right?
Really? Instead of Glycerine.
Instead of Glycerine, Kiss the Rain.
Yeah.
And then when he found out he wasn't using the words Kiss the Rain, he started writing a song called Kiss the Rain for Billy Myers, and it became her first single to hit the number 15 chart in the U.S.
That's great.
How about that?
That's fantastic.
Also, there's a reference to the song Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yep.
In this song.
Yeah. Strawberry Fields is a place in the UK. I mean, it's like Penny Lane and Strawberry Fields are Paul and John's songs about the place that they grew up, right?
Right, right.
Strawberry Fields being where John Lennon grew up and what they call the place in Central Park now where he's got a little altar to his presence. Yeah.
Yeah. That line says, "We live in a wheel where everyone steals, but when we rise, it's like Strawberry Fields." This was the fourth single released November of 95.
Okay. This one is too sad and too beautiful and too wonderful for me to disturb with what the meaning of 16 Stone is. So we're going to have to bebop on to the next song. Okay?
Let's go on to the next one.
All right.
That song is called Alien.
This is a song that I can totally see in concert being the, if you will, come down.
Yeah, song. I can see that. Yeah.
Of, you know, like we've just banged and thrashed ferociously to Machine Head. Time for us to chill and just kind of bob. Instead of banging our head, we're going to bob our head and just kind of live in the moment. It's nice. It's a long, it's like over 6 minute long song that's very chill, very atmospheric almost.
I totally agree with you. I read online a lot of people mark this as their favorite song.
Yeah.
It's not mine, but
I think you have to be, if you're going to be listening to this on the album, it has to be that situation where you're really just listening to the album. You're laid out on the couch, you're totally vibing, you know, the lights are dimmed, you know, you've got something to drink or something enjoyable going on in the room where you're just able to just soak it in. But listening to it in the car on the way to work, probably not so good.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the story. 16 Stone.
Yes.
All right.
I'm ready for this.
So there was, he didn't elaborate on what the meaning of this was for quite some time. And there was talk that somehow it related to his, that he liked math and numerical things and spiritualism and that kind of thing.
Math and spiritualism.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as you pointed out, when you were like, what does 16 stone mean? And I'm like, I don't know. And you're like, it seems like it'd be a measurement or of weight of some kind. And okay. So he had a buddy. Apparently catfishing was a thing before we had social media and all of these other things. You could catfish somebody back in the 90s through classified ads.
Oh, wow.
Remember,
okay.
I mean, like the Pina Colada song, right? You know, like he's
right.
reading the ad, let's meet up, all this other stuff. And you toy somebody.
I like Pina Coladas.
Right. You would toy somebody along pretending to be somebody who you were not.
Wow.
And
okay.
Apparently, Gavin Rossdale had a buddy who this happened to. He got catfished. And this song is a reference to when he found out that she was not the slim model-esque person, but instead weighed 16 stones, which translate to 224 pounds. Just deuce and a half. He was catfished by a heavier chick in the classified ads. And so that apparently is where we get the name Stone.
Wow.
Or spiritual numerical blah-de-blah-blah. No, I like this story much better.
Catfishing ain't cool, kids. All right. Last song on the album. Song's called Ex-Girlfriend. It's fine.
That was rather quick. There's a 44-second song for you. Ein, zwei, drei, vier. We count off in German, and then the only lyric, which is repeated over and over again, is you only call me when you're down.
This sounds like a hidden song that's not hidden, right?
Right, yes.
This deserves to be, like, unnamed at the end of the album.
Yeah. So this one's called Ex-Girlfriend. Now, we've talked about Gwen Stefani, who got herself to ex-wife, actually.
There's a great story with that, but keep going.
Okay. And then we've talked about Susie DeMarchi.
Yep.
And we've talked about Marilyn.
Yeah.
And we've talked about Courtney Love.
Yeah.
That's four right there. And I know that he had a child with someone back in the late 80s.
Yeah, he did. So I've got a kind of a breakdown for you.
Okay, yeah.
And we already talked about how Gavin Rossdale doesn't have any trouble grabbing the ladies, right?
Right.
So he had a child with a lady named Pearl Lowe, okay, who is an interior decorator. She had a daughter named Daisy Lowe.
Right.
That you may have heard of. She's a model.
Yeah.
And they had to go to court, and they found out that, yes, she was actually the love child of Gavin Rossdale and Pearl Lowe.
Yep. She Pearl Lowe was also a singer in a band for a while, if I remember correctly.
That's right. He also, I think we kind of need to get into the Gwen Stefani thing here. So,
okay, yeah.
He was married to Gwen Stefani for 15 years, long time, long into the relationship, like 2015, maybe 13 years in.
Uh-huh.
A nanny discovered an iPad that was hooked up to his cell phone, and a nanny noticed that there was inappropriate text coming from a different nanny. Her name is Mindy Mann.
Okay.
She was sending sexually suggestive texts along with intimate pictures, if you will.
Okay.
And of course, that was a big betrayal, because you not only did Gwen lose her husband, but she also lost a friend and a trusted employee. And that was kind of the big scandal there in the mid-2010s for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Thankfully, Gwen ends up with native Oklahoman Blake Shelton.
Yes.
She comes down to Tishomingo quite a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do have a list of Gavin Rossdale's ex-girlfriends.
Okay.
You ready for this?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. We already talked about Susie DeMarchi. We've talked about Courtney Love. We talked about Pearl Lowe. We talked about Marilyn. But he also dated Gwen Singer. You know who that is?
No.
Majors.
Okay.
You know who Natalie Golba is?
No.
Majors.
Okay.
You know who Sophia Tamala is?
No.
Majors.
All right.
His current girlfriend is Zoanna Zanetti. Majors.
Like I said,
he's doing all right.
He's a handsome man. And given the kind of breadth of his love life, I'll give you another short little tidbit. Now, I mentioned that Rob Kahane was the guy from Hollywood Records who first discovered Bush, if you will. They were playing in these flea pits. They weren't getting any attention from any of the UK record labels. And in 93, a guy named Gary Crowley of Capital Radio was a disc jockey for them. He gave a copy of their demo to a friend of his who was on the American label Trauma at the time. And that friend was Rob Kahane, who I talked about being from Hollywood Records.
Right.
It was very fortunate that Rob Kahane had gotten this album, because he had just stopped working with the guy who he had been managing for several years, who we've covered a couple of times, a guy named George Michael.
Really?
Yes. And so had George Michael not dumped Rob Kahane, we might never have gotten introduced to Bush.
Oh, fascinating. That's good stuff.
There you go.
All right. That brings us to the end of the album.
Yep.
I got to ask you real quick.
Yeah, yeah.
We've covered Weezer.
Weezer.
We've covered Dookie by Green Day.
Green Day, yep.
And we've covered 16 Stone by Bush.
Yep, that's three.
I'm not going to ask you to rank them, but what's your favorite one we've covered so far?
I'm not telling you. You have to tune in for the next two episodes, and then I will give you all five ranked in order. Guys, just hit that follow button on your podcast app, and you can see if you agree with me or if you agree with Jason, or we're both idiots. But tune in. Next two albums, we're going to have a couple of guest hosts with us. We got Brad Moore coming in.
And we got Dayton Johnson coming in.
Brad Moore is going to help us cover Live Throwing Copper, which is another album I had at the time and absolutely loved. And Dayton Johnson is going to help us cover Collective Soul, the Blue Album.
Yes.
Which I'm excited to talk about that one as well. Well, that's one of your favorites, I know.
I love it. Yep. It's going to be fun. We'll see you guys back here next week.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.